Act 4, Scene 1, Caesar's House. Enter Portia, Brutus's wife, and Calpurnia, Caesar's wife, as narrators. Julius Caesar is dead and buried.
Brutus, along with his best friend and designer of the assassination plot, Cassius, are chased out of the city by angry Roman citizens.
The city is divided once more, perhaps even worse than before. Civil war is imminent.
Those who stand alongside Brutus and Cassius, who thought Julius Caesar was a tyrant in the making.
Pitted against those standing beside Mark Antony and Octavius Caesar, Julius's nephew, who thought Julius Caesar was destined to be the greatest ruler in history.
Both sides are gathering armies
and preparing for battle.
Enter Mark Antony walking alongside Octavius Caesar.
Now, Octavius, listen. Brutus and Cassius are levying powers. We must straight make head. Therefore, let our alliance be combined.
Let it be so, for we are at the stake, bayed about with many enemies. And
Act 4, Scene 2. At Brutus's war tent, the sounds of a military camp. There's marching of soldiers, shouts, and laughter. Enter Cassius, heated.
Meanwhile, tension is rising between the outcasts, Cassius and Brutus. The rest of the conspirators have been put to death by the new Roman government, and it has weakened the spirits of the rebellion. Cassius and Brutus are having a hard time agreeing on what to do next, but they must come up with a plan, and quickly.
Enter Brutus and Lucius conferring.
Most noble brother, you have done me wrong.
Judge me, you gods. Wrong I mine enemies? And if not so, how should I wrong a brother?
Brutus, this sober form of yours hides wrongs, and when you do them—
Cassius, be content. Speak your griefs softly. I do know you well. Before the eyes of both our armies, which should receive nothing but love from us, let us not wrangle. Let them move away. Then in my tent, Cassius, enlarge your griefs, I will give you audience.
Bid our commanders lead their charges off a little from this ground.
And let no man come to our tents till we have done our conference. Lucius, guard our door.
Brutus and Cassius go into the tent to confer. Lucius posts off to one side to stand guard, but then he quickly dozes off, head heavy.
That you have wronged me doeth appear in this. You have condemned and noted Lucia Pella for taking bribes here of the Sardinians, wherein my letters praying on his side, because I knew the man were slighted off.
You wronged yourself to write in such a case. Let me tell you, Cassius, you yourself are much condemned to have an itching palm to sell and mart your offices for gold to underservants.
Aye, an itching palm. You know what you are, Brutus, that speaks this, or by the gods that speak else were your last.
The name of Cassius honors this corruption.
Corruption?
Remember March. The Ides of March. Remember. Did not great Julius bleed for justice's sake? What villain touched his body that did stab and not for justice? What shall one of us that struck the foremost man of all this world but for supporting robbers? Shall we now contaminate our fingers with these bribes? I'd rather be a dog, bay the moon, than such a Roman.
Brutus, bay me not. I'll not endure it.
Go to, Cassius.
Urge me no more. I shall forget myself. Have mind upon your health. Tempt me no further.
Away, slight man!
It's possible.
Cassius attacks with Brutus. Easily shuts him down.
Hear me, for I will speak. Must I give way and room to your rash caller?
Oh, ye gods, ye gods! Must I endure all this?
All this! Aye, more, fret till your proud heart break.
When Caesar lived, he dureth not thus move me.
Peace, peace. You durst not so have tempt him.
I durst not.
Your life, you durst not.
Do not presume too much upon my love. I may do that I shall be sorry for.
You have done that you should be sorry for.
Brutus has ribbed my heart. A friend should bear his friend's infirmities. But Brutus makes mine greater than they are.
I do not like your faults.
A friendly eye can never see such faults.
A flatterer's would not, though they do appear as huge as high Olympus.
Cassius draws a knife.
There is my dagger, and here is a heart richer than gold. If thou beest a Roman, take it forth. Strike it as thou didst at Caesar, for I know when thou didst hate him his worst, thou loved him better than thou ever loved Cassius.
Sheath your dagger. Be angry when you will, it shall have scope. O Cassius, you are yoked with a lamb that carries anger as the flint bears fire, who much enforced shows a hasty spark and straight is cold again.
Has Cassius lived to be but mirth and laughter to his Brutus, when grief and blood ill-tempered vexes him?
When I spoke that, I was ill-tempered too.
Do you confess so much? Give me your hand.
Cassius outstretches his hand, Brutus shaking his hand.
I do not think you could have been so angry.
Oh, Cassius, I am sick of many griefs.
He picks up a paper.
I have here received letters of young Octavius and Mark Antony come down upon us with a mighty power, bending their expedition toward Philippi.
Myself have letters of the self-same tenor.
With what addition?
That they have put to death 100 senators.
Well, to our work alive, what do you think of marching to Philippi present?
I do not think it good.
Your reason?
This is it. 'Tis better that the enemy seek us. So shall he waste his means, weary his soldiers, doing himself offense, whilst we, lying still, are full of rest, defense, and nimbleness.
Good reasons must, of force, give place to better. The people, twixt Philippi and this ground, do stand but in a forced affection, for they have grudged us contribution. The enemy, marching along by them shall make a fuller number up, come on refreshed, new added, and encouraged, from which advantage shall we cut him off, if at Philippi we do face him there.
Hear me, good brother.
The enemy increaseth every day. We, at the height, are ready to decline. We must take the current when it serves, or lose our ventures.
Then, with your will, go on. We'll along ourselves and meet them at Philippi.
The deep of night is crept upon our talk, and nature must obey necessity with a little rest. There is no more to say?
No more. Good night. Early tomorrow we will rise, and hence.
Noble, noble Cassius. Good night, and good repose.
Oh, my dear brother, this was an ill beginning of the night. Never comes such division between our souls. Let it not, Brutus.
Everything is well.
Good night, my lord.
Good night, good brother.
Exit Cassius, tousling the hair of Lucius on his way out, stirring him from his nap.
Lucius, my boy.
Lucius goes to him, and they sit together.
I trouble thee too much, but thou art willing.
It is my duty, sir.
I should not urge thy duty past thy might. I know young bloods look for a time of rest.
I have slept, my lord, already.
And it was well done, and thou shalt sleep again. I will not hold thee long. If I do live, I will be good to thee.
Brutus falls asleep in his chair. Lucius lays a blanket over him. Then Lucius goes back to his own napping corner and dozes off again.
Brutus!
Brutus! Brutus!
Brutus!
Thou shalt see me at Philippi.
Philippi, Brutus.
Why? I will see thee at Philippi then.
Brutus.
Ill spirit, I would hold more talk with thee.
My lord!
Lucius, didst thou see anything?
Nothing, my lord.
Go and commend me to my brother Cassius. And bid him set on his powers betimes before. We will follow.
Exit Lucius in haste.
It is time to go meet Antony and Octavius. Our final battle is at hand.
And Brutus exits.